You have questions, we have answers. This is Jane Muller.
And this is Ken Muller. Welcome to our show, all about real estate with Ken and Jane. Today, Jane, the topic is going to be, we're going to discuss what it takes to become a real estate salesperson. And then we're going to distinguish the difference between a real estate salesperson and a realtor.
Okay? Because often I get a call from the past client, from general public, and they always ask me, I'm very, very interested in real estate, and how can I become a real estate agent? And so we thought today to share some information, and for the listener there, if you're interested.
Yes, absolutely. All right, so we can start off. We don't want to, you know, belabor the points too much, but to become a real estate agent in New Jersey, you have to be, obviously, you have to reside in New Jersey. You have to be 18 years older. You have to have a high school diploma or equivalent. And then you have to take a 75-hour course in real estate from an approved state New Jersey education facility that's approved to teach the real estate course. And then once you do all that, you need to sit for the exam. You have to have you have to pass the exam, have a 70% or higher. And then once all that's done, you have to submit your application, and they do a background check on you to make sure that you have to make sure there's no crimes that could disqualify you from getting your real estate license. There might be certain crimes. If there's, I think, felonies or certain crimes, they call it moral turpitude. That could, they're big on that. So if they find anything that would show a flaw in your character, because as we're going to cover, the traits they look for in a good in a real estate agent are honesty, trustworthiness, integrity, obviously, and the knowledge and skill set as well.
Yeah. So, yeah. Also, they're going to take the fingerprint.
Well, that's part of the background check.
Before that, right, you may ask, how do you know which school, where to find information? And the New Jersey State website have all that information. If you Google license,
right? And also, there are certain, if you're a disabled veteran in New Jersey, you may be eligible for certain waiver requirements from certain of the education requirements. There is a number you can contact the Real Estate Commission. They have a waiver section. Their number is 609-292-7272. So any veterans out there that are disabled, you may get entitled to certain exemptions from the schooling and education requirements.
Yeah, all the information is very easy now. You can go on website to find from the website how, which school you can apply and how the qualification, how that works. And once you become a real estate agent, we also have continual education as well. That's really great too for all the agent to keep up with our, knowledge and the law and the requirement. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And then while we're on the subject of the real estate, that would qualify you as a real estate salesperson. There's another title that after you've worked as a real estate salesperson full time for at least 3 years, then you're eligible to become a broker salesperson. That requires you to again have the requisite work experience, take the broker training course, which is 150 hours from an accredited school, pass the test, and then you can become a broker salesperson. And becoming a broker salesperson, not only does it give you a different title, it allows you, if you choose to, you can open up your own real estate firm, your own broker firm. But a lot of people that are broker associates, like myself and Jane, we have that title, but we work for RE/MAX First Realty as broker salesperson.
Yeah, that's really, the reason I got myself a broker license that time is I feel that's another way to improve my skills and the knowledge. So another 150 hours study. And at the same time, I think that would give my client more confidence in my skills as well as a broker associate. Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we should say that the 150-hour training class for the brokers consists of 90 hours of basic real estate rules, and then the remaining 60 hours are broken into ethics and agency laws, because ethics is a very, very, very important component.
Yes.
Of any realtor, whether you be a realtor salesperson or a broker salesperson, ethics is big. And that's why, as part of the continuing education, you always have to do a minimum certain number of ethics training as well.
Absolutely. And another question people ask me is, what's the difference between realtor and the real estate agent?
Right. So a realtor is a nationally registered trademark. And a realtor, if you call yourself a realtor, what it means is that you're a member, you belong to the National Association of Realtors, known as NAR. That's a membership fee. Typically, if you join a brokerage firm and they belong to it, then by joining that firm as a real estate agent, you are required to join the National Association of Realtors. We're both members of that too, so we can call ourselves realtors as well as real estate professionals.
Sure. In the nutshell, is not all realtor, not all the real estate agents are realtors, but 100% realtors are real estate agents, have a license.
Let's say it one more time. Yeah. Not all realtors are real estate agents, salespeople. Must be, right, but not vice versa. That's correct. And so currently, one stat to share with the listeners, on a nationwide basis right now, based on the National Association of Realtors, NAR, reports that there are approximately 1.6 million realtors in their organization. So it's a pretty big organization.
So what that means is in the U.S., there's a more than that real estate agent, licensed agent practice in the real estate in each different states. Yeah, because realtor, the number is less than the total real estate agent number, because not every real estate agent has to be realtor. Yeah, but join the association is very great, because association offer a lot of training, a lot of, up to date with all the requirements. And we were set up a higher standard for our practice, in the industry.
Right.
I would highly recommend all the agents, like us, join the local board. Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. They keep you current on the news, updates, mm-hmm. what's ever trending in the market. So they hold their the realtors to a higher standard, both from education and I think ethics too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's very important. Yeah. And often I have people call me, ask me, should I become an agent? That's really depends, right? That depends on why you want to be an agent. A lot of time, right, including myself, can remember that time, the reason I want to be join the real estate was, A, I have passion for real estate. That's real. That's number one thing. I know a lot of listening, they are same. They have very great passion for real estate. B, I thought at that time, I thought I would have more time with our young child. That time, our daughter is only 2.5 years old, only 2 years
right.
old. So that time, I thought I would have more time. But in fact, you have to think it again.
I think in contrary, a lot of people have the misperception, I'll get my license, I'll pay the money, I have a clean background, I'll go through, I've got a high school degree, I've got a college degree, I'll take the course, pass the test, get fingerprinted, get my license, hang my shingle with, local brokerage firm, and then just wait back and, wait till a family member calls me or a friend calls me. I mean, that was like the typical mindset of a lot of people. But to be, I think, like you said, Jane, to be a successful real estate professional, you really have to devote your heart and soul to it. It's more than a full-time job. It can be a demanding 7-day-a-week job, 10 to 12 hours a day, or if not more, to be successful at it. I mean, there's, it's really because, and then you're going to find that the people that the buyers, the tenants, the sellers, they're going to want somebody who devotes their full time to it. So if you're going to work a full-time job and then try to do it at nights and weekends, you may have some limited success, but it's very difficult to do that, because to be a really truly successful professional, as with any field, you really have to devote your full-time effort to it.
I mean, I want to redefine the full-time, Ken. I mean, full-time generally people believe is 40 hours a week, right? I mean, when I start real estate, I work at least 80 hours more per week, minimum.
Right, just minimum. To learn the reason was just to learn the market, because you're come. There's so much. People don't realize that being a real estate professional, there's so besides the mandatory continuing education, there's so much to know about the market, the towns, the prices. You have to really just to get your knowledge in the market and survey the homes. It's such a demanding task, and then to understand your clients' needs and go out there and do the searches and find them things that meet their criteria. It's quite demanding.
Quite demanding. I mean, once again, I'm not here to discourage people. Some people can do, full time and have a very successful real estate, business. We know somebody, right? And one agent joined, and he personally is a professional engineer, work for the state. But he work every evening, every weekend. So at the end of the day, right, it's not only how many hours you devote to be a real estate agent, is how well, how efficient you use your time, right? For example, as an engineer, the agent I just mentioned, right, he already understood a lot of this, right? But for me, as a brand new agent, I have a zero knowledge about the home inspection and how the process. So that's always, the challenge for me. So it took a little bit longer for me to learn. Plus, I'm not from, local, so obviously not from New Jersey. So a lot of the style of the home, the neighborhood, and the school is very different from you, Ken, for example. Mm-hmm. You pick it up much quicker than me, because people talk about school, talk about the area, straight away. So that's really individually. So please don't get discouraged.
I think you forgot one thing: your driving skills and your direction skills. Even I don't know how you survived 10 years ago, because that was before the GPS
that's
system was invented. But now, even now with the GPS, you get lost. So I don't know how you can navigate successfully where you got to go.
pray.
Unless your assistant was your driver, which has happened in the past. So
yes.
Yeah. All right, we're gonna take a short break, and we'll be back right after these messages.
A two-story building, approximately 5,100 square feet, with private offices and open spaces located in prime downtown New Brunswick, is available for lease. Yes, come on down and take a look. The building is zoned community commercial and has many permitted uses, including office, art gallery, theater, and music studio. To learn more about this property and more, contact Ken at 908-337-9448. That's Ken at 908-337-9448. Prime Real Estate, a standalone building with superior construction quality, a backup generator, and beautiful architectural design, is available for sale or for lease. Located in a highly visible location directly off Route 33 in Hamilton Township, this location is zoned highway commercial, suitable for retail, medical, office, education, and so much more. To find out more, please call Ken at 908-337-9448. That's 908-337-9448. Impressive second-level office suite in excellent condition is available for lease. Approximately 2,400 square feet consists of private offices, conference rooms and kitchen, and private restrooms. Perfect for attorneys, accountants, or any office professional use. Situated in prime location on Route 130 in the Lake Farrington Plaza Business Park, in close proximity to major highways including Route 1, the New Jersey Turnpike, and Route 287. For more information, please contact Ken at 908-337-9448. That's Ken at 908-337-9448. You are listening to All About Real Estate with Ken and Jay Muller on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. Now let's get back to the show.
Okay, welcome back to our show. So we're going to continue discussing the about the real estate salesperson and the realtor. So Jane, I think it's important now that we've distinguished the difference between a real estate salesperson, and a realtor. We want to talk about the skill set, what it takes to be a successful
real estate person.
Real estate person, whether you're a realtor or you're just a real estate salesperson that's not a member of the NAR. And I think the first, one of the first important skills that you need to have is the communication skill. People, realtor, I mean, it's a communication, regardless in any type of business, is extremely important. And it's no different if you're a real estate professional. You have to find out, you have to communicate with your clients. You have to find out their preferred method. Some may want phone calls. Some may prefer email or text. But the communication on a regular and up, you know, timely basis is very important through the whole stages of the real estate process. Whether you represent a seller and they do the listing, people are anxious. You know, it's a big thing when they're especially as a list agent, if you're listing their home, you're talking, you know, one of their biggest assets possibly. So they want to be anxious. They want to know feedback from showing. They want to know about the offers. They want your advice when there's home inspection issues. They want to know the closing timeline. There's just so many during every step of the way. So you have to really develop that unique rapport with your clients, whether they be the seller and equally so for buyers. You know, you have to So communication is probably the first fundamental skill that you need to have.
Absolutely. The communication is very important because we're working with people. So obviously communication is how effective you can communicate with people become super, super important in this transaction. Having said that, I think with the real estate, right, the trust is absolutely a must. You know, the trust your client put in you. And but people will say, yeah, I'm very trustworthy. But trustworthy in the real estate is very different trustworthy as a general friendship, right? Friendship is, you know, you're there for them. They trust you. You're going to keep the secret. And then, you know, that's a trust. But in real estate, how people can trust you, you have to have a very strong skill set to support that. It's not just simply your seller or buyer trusts you. They trust you as well as your ability to deliver. So that's very important. And, you know, with an agent, right, you have to understand the market. How do you understand the market? That's going back to before the break, we talk about full-time versus part-time, right? In order for you to understand market, and what I did was I pretty much previewed most 90%+ of home in East Brunswick that time, right? That's my main market, my main concern. So you have to really understand the market. If you don't understand market value and the information about the whole, you know, the township, the school, and the community, you can't really give your client good advice on that. So that's very important, the knowledge.
Yeah. Right, knowledge. Mm-hmm. Okay. And another characteristic that's equally important is the ability to negotiate. You have to have the knowledge, but certainly it all comes down to getting the most favorable terms for the buyer or the seller, depending who you represent. So ability to negotiate is key. And Jane, you want to elaborate on what, in your opinion, what makes somebody a good negotiator? Obviously, you have to have the knowledge to know the market, know the comparables, and can you define it? What you would say to the listeners out there that distinguishes a great negotiator from just an ordinary negotiator?
I think that for me, the number one important in how to negotiate is to understand, then to be understood, because you would assume everybody wants the same thing. It's not, right? So a lot of people think, oh, the seller just want a price. It may not be. Or the buyer just want to pay less. May not be. So you have to understand the other side, what the other side need in order for you to be right. Effective negotiator. Cool. Say, for example, right, if I represent a buyer today, right, we really want the house. If I understood the seller has building a home, they're not quite sure at the closing when the new house will be finished and done because due to the weather, due to the recent shortage of the material, that's mm-hmm. all up in the air. If I can draft up the offer, accommodate that need of the seller, so obviously there's a great chance for us to get this home.
Right.
So, you know, how to negotiate is really you have to understand what the other people needs are. and how you're going to use that to your advantage to negotiate.
The fancy word for that in the commercial field is you want to take a collaborative, integrative approach to negotiation and not like a standoffish approach. And what that means is exactly what you said, Jane. You want to basically understand that I've got what you basically want to take everything from the opposition's standpoint and say, well, we have six points that of contention. We agree on points 1, 4, and 6. And then so let's see how we can bridge the gap for the points we disagree on, like points 2, 3, and 5. So it's an integrative. You want to see, you know, and you basically want to take the thing, how can I help you, the other side, achieve what you want and at the same time achieve what my client wants? And that's the whole philosophy. That's the current modern day thinking for how negotiation can be successful when you take a collaborative, integrative approach to the process. And you think from the other standpoint, because it can't always be from your side. Like you said, with that example with the seller, if you're to represent the buyer and the seller is having a house built, but it's, you know, there's a timeline, then obviously the price is one factor, but obviously the time for the closing and the flexibility on the closing are going to be equally important. So you have to put your mind, you have to get into their mindset and see, you know, and think from that standpoint. Otherwise, you're going to hit a brick wall if you ignore what's important to the seller.
Yeah, the advice to the agent out there, and there's a lot of books. And once again, we always read the books, and I like the audiobook. So when you're driving, you can listen. So there's a lot of great books on that topic. And when you have a time and self-improvement, self-education is very important to help us to be a better agent.
Right. Another skill set that's very important, which probably in life in general for all different types of businesses and relationships, is the ability to listen more. Listen and do less talking. Listen to what your client's needs are. Listen to what they're telling you. Interpret it so you know you can listen carefully. And instead of trying to, you know, talk and, you know, let them tell you what they want, what's important to them, whether they be as the seller on, when they have a contract, what's important to them with the closing date, the price, the accommodations, you know, having a smooth transaction, or if the buyer, you have to listen to what their needs are so you can guide them. Because if a buyer tells you they want a certain type of a house and they don't want to be on a busy road and they want to be in a good school district, then, well, you're not just going to search everything that meets their 4-bedroom, 2.5-bath criteria. You're going to have to pre-screen it and listen to based on what their needs are, obviously.
And I totally agree with you. But Ken, I would think one step further than that. And sometimes when you ask the client what they need, right, you have to really follow up with the further questions. Why is that? When you ask the question, why is that? When they explain to you why they think this way, may help you understand the need better. And, you know, you may be able to provide them a better solution than they originally thought, right? So that's where listening absolutely is a key.
And one of the key questions that you always ask, which I think is a great question, is basically if there's some ambiguity, is the question, what are you trying to achieve?
Yes.
Because that's basically, if you know what they may be saying one thing, but you're not quite sure what it is. But if you ultimately, what are you trying to achieve?
Yep.
And that could even be with the home inspection or, you know,
anything in life. My old boss taught me that long, long time ago when I was a junior. And I tried to tell him the story, what happening. He said, hey, I'm busy here. What you try to achieve? What you try to say? What exactly do you try to get? Mm-hmm. And the thing, for example, right, I always joke. I said, well, you got to know what you try to achieve, where you want to go. Say you have a turnpike here. You could go turnpike south or north. If you don't know where you go, you could go the wrong direction, right? So you have to know your aim, what you try to achieve. When you know what you're looking for, it's easier to backtrack and work out the routes. Yes, how we're going to get there for you. Yeah.
Right. And one of most importantly, another skill set of a good real estate agent is being an advisor, having the problem solving skills. During any transaction, even if it's a smooth transaction, you're going to run into bumps and hurdles along the way. Mm-hmm. With the other side, there's going to be things that come up, and you have to be an advisor, a confidant, you know, a trusted source for the sellers or the buyers to help alleviate their concerns and help advise them and guide them and troubleshoot the problems that would arise.
I totally agree with you, Ken. I think a lot of time, right? I once read a book. They said the best doctor, it may not be the doctor cure your sickness, it's the one prevent you get sick in the first place, right?
It's the infection.
Yeah,
right?
Same exactly. Like a good advisor is we as a professional, you know, we do this for a living. So if we advise our client before, you know, in advance, get them prepared, so the whole transaction would be more smooth. For example, right, last 2 years, a very strong market. If you advise your buyer, we have to be prepared. A lot of offers over asking with the appraisal. So we have to make sure financially we can do that. Talk to the lender and prepared. Otherwise, they're going to put in a bid. They lose house, they lose house, they lose house. They don't know why they lose the house. I mean, I in the previous shows, I mentioned some buyer and the agent came to my open house, just want to ask me why they lost the five offer they made. Three was my listing. The other two, you know, total five, I have to give them some feedback, right? I said, you didn't waive appraisal. And why have to waive appraisal? I said, well, you don't have to, but other people did. So that's why obviously the owner took that. But going back to the beginning, if you advise your client at the beginning, and like last show we talked last week, right, when you're showing the house, if you saw the HAVC is 30 years old, you advise your client, this is maybe the end of user life, but if as long as working, the seller not going to buy you a new one. So you prepare them, you advise them. So when that happened, it's not come as a shock. Oh my God, I just found out that, right?
And likewise with the sellers, with the home inspection, you should prepare them in advance. When you're a good list agent like yourself, Jane, what you'll do is you'll advise the sellers, look, the buyer's going to come in with their home inspector. They're going to, don't panic. You're eventually going to get a report. It's going to be, the report's going to be 50 to 100 pages. Yes. It's going to be standard, but that's, everyone deals with that. It's going to have a lot of the pictures in it, and you don't have to don't feel overwhelmed, because so many times what happens if the seller is not warned by it, you know, again, they do this every 20 years, it might have been 30 years ago, so they're not acclimated to getting that report. They might think, oh my God, the house, there's so much wrong with it, I can't fix all this, or they want everything, but that's not the case. So you have to advise them that you're going to get a home inspection report, you're going to get a repair request, and then that's all negotiable. So you have to guide them in advance along the way.
Absolutely.
That's all part about being a good agent, and I think that covers it. Patience is always a good thing.
Patience
is a virtue. Mm-hmm. So we're pretty much out of time on this, but I think we've covered all the a lot of the important attributes of a good and successful real estate professional.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll see everyone next week.
You have been listening to All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane Muller, airing every Sunday at 10 a.m. on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. For feedback and suggestions for future topics, go to their Facebook page, All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane, or email them at realestatewithkenandjane@gmail.com or call 732-898-2266.